Dear Heavenly Father, I pray I can just be a nail on the wall to hold a picture of your face. Truly may we see you more clearly and fall in love with you more deeply, is my prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to that scripture reading. Psalms 20, verse 26. You're probably still there. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. As I was thinking about what to preach about today, actually this was like 3 weeks ago, I was praying, Lord, what should I preach about? I have no idea. And I was looking through a commentary, and I want to share with you the passage that led me to this topic. Here it says in Steps to Christ, in the chapter Consecration, the world's Redeemer accepts men as they are, with all their wants, imperfections, and weaknesses. And He will not only cleanse us from sin and grant redemption through His blood, but will satisfy the heart longing of all who consent to wear His yoke and to bear His burden. He will satisfy the heart longing of all who consent to wear His yoke and to bear His burden. A while back, actually quite a while back, someone had done a critique of one of my sermons that I'd done and gave me a nice, simple outline. I tend to just share a bunch of text and it's not real organized, but praise the Lord. I tried to follow his outline and it's a little more organized today. So the simple outline is basically our problem, God's solution, and how to apply it to our lives. And so the problem is that we're never satisfied. We try to fill the God-shaped void that He's put in each one of us with everything but Him. Let's look. First of all, have you ever, at the end of a meal, been not satisfied? I have. There's been a time or two when I'd eat and then I'm just not really satisfied. So I get some chips or get something else and I'm just not really satisfied. Well, I'll have some dessert. I'm not satisfied. And before you know it, you've eaten way more than you need and your stomach is confused and you're not satisfied. Okay, let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear with hearing. Isn't that true? We try to satisfy ourselves with sights, maybe good sights, maybe bad sights. And we try to satisfy our ear with good music, maybe bad music. Maybe gossip, maybe who knows what we try to satisfy ourselves with. And Solomon, who wrote this, has a passage here. It's kind of long, but I want to share it about some ways that he tried to satisfy himself. In chapter 2, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verses 1 to 11, it says this. I said in my heart, go now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was the good for the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded houses, planted vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born to my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and peculiar treasure of kings and of provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the son of men as musical instruments, and all, and that of all sorts. I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not back from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced with all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. So here he tried about everything, but his conclusion was, all is vanity and vexation of spirits. Here he said, whatever my eyes desired, I kept not back from him, or any joy. But still, he wasn't satisfied. We may also satisfy ourselves with wrong things. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37 and verse 27. Genesis chapter 37 and 27. And here it says, this is speaking about Joseph's brothers. They'd had enough of him telling his dreams and how that they were going to serve him when they were older. Here it says, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our flesh, and his brethren were content. Content is another word for satisfy, or at least close. But here they were content with the wrong thing, weren't they? They were actually wanting to kill him, but they decided to be content with selling him as a slave. Let's also turn to Mark chapter 15 and verse 15. Mark chapter 15 and verse 15. And here it says, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him to be crucified. Sometimes we try to satisfy or content ourselves by compromise. Here, he was more concerned about what the people thought than what God thought. And he knew that Jesus was innocent, but he was willing to content the people and release to them Barabbas and put Jesus to death, basically. Let's look also at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. Let's start in verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sure, there's pleasures, there's enjoyment, there might be satisfaction in sin, but it's not lasting, is it? It's only for a season. So what's God's solution? He wants to give us satisfaction, true satisfaction that's going to last. Let's look at John chapter 4 and verse 32. John chapter 4, verse 32. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Let's continue on to 34. And therefore the disciples said one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. I used to be in prison ministry, and there's been many times when I've come back and I could testify that I have meat to eat that many people know not of, because I was satisfied with these prisoners and how that they were eating up God's Word. And it just really was satisfying. It's really rewarding. And so that's, Lord wants to satisfy us instead of us trying to satisfy ourselves. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 81 and verses 8 to 16. Here we see God's heart for the children of Israel. Psalms 81 verses 8 to 16. Here it says, Hear, O my people, I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall be no strange god in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But the people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave up them up unto their hearts, own hearts' lusts, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of meat, of wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. So here, he wanted to satisfy Israel, but they wouldn't listen to him. They tried to satisfy themselves with their own lusts, their own desires. But I really love here in verse 10, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's his desire. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I will satisfy thee. Let's look also at Psalms chapter 36 and verses 7 to 9. Psalms chapter 36, verses 7 to 9. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. With thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. So, truly, the Lord has loving kindness for us. And if we'll trust in him, he will abundantly satisfy us. And he'll make us to drink of the river of his pleasure. That reminds me of one of my favorite texts. So let's turn to Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11. Here it says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's what he wants for us. Fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. He wants to satisfy us. Let's go to and look a little bit more at our opening text, Psalms chapter 22 and verse 26. So please turn to Psalms 22 and verse 26 once more. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. Here the Lord wants to satisfy us. He even wants our heart to live forever through His satisfaction. But you may be hung up with that word meek. What does it mean to be meek? I was answering a prayer of someone the other day, not a prayer, but answering a question of someone the other day who's talking about self-esteem. And the Lord brought to my memory about Jesus, and I thought that really answers the question. Because he's thinking, well, aren't we supposed to have self-esteem? But let's look at Jesus and see what he had. He had self-respect, and he was meek. So let's look at that. Let's go to John chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. John chapter 13 and verses 1 to 3. Here it says, talking about the foot washing before that. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, and he riseth from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself with. And after that he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. So here Jesus, it says that he knew where he came from and knew where he was going. Here he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet he would humble himself to wash the disciples' feet. He would humble himself and do whatever it took to save his people and to give them the picture of God that would bring them closer to him. But what does that mean for us? What does meekness mean for us? Let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. Here it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Truly, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, we that are sinners, we that are ungrateful, we that spit in his face, he still wants us to be sons and daughters of him. And in John, turning to John chapter 1, we'll see what he wants to do for us. John chapter 1 and verse 12. Actually, I want to start in verse 10. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So here, many didn't receive him, but if we will receive him, he will give us power to become sons of God. So here, what does it mean to be meek? We know that we're sons and daughters of God if we will accept that. And we can humble ourselves like He did to show a picture of God, to serve others, to work for their salvation. And this doesn't make us weak, does it? But this makes us strong, knowing who we are, but knowing that we can humble ourselves, knowing that it doesn't matter what happens to us. What's most important thing is what happens to God and to His people. And this will satisfy us. Let's look now at how to apply this. And as I was thinking about this, I was really struggling on how to put this together. But I came up with basically three things. Come to Him, taste and see that He is good, and walk in the Spirit. So let's look at those. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And here it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So He's saying, come unto me, all that are labor and are heavy laden. In other words, all that feel their need. So we come to Him just as we are, like our passages said before, that He accepts us just as we are. So we come to Him just as we are, and let's look at another promise on that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And actually, I'm going to start a little bit before that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And I'm going to start in verse 31. "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Or we could say, what's going to satisfy me? How am I going to be satisfied? "For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." So the Gentiles, they seek that. They seek to satisfy themselves. But we, the more we get to know God, the more realize that He wants to satisfy, He wants to supply our needs. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, even satisfaction." He wants to satisfy us with food, with clothing, with everything we need, even satisfaction. Okay, let's look at taste and see that He is good. Let's go to Psalms 34 and verse 8, where this verse comes from. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." He wants us to taste. He wants us to check Him out. He wants us to experience Him. So what's one way to do that? As we study His Bible, as we see the things He's promised, we can claim those promises, and we'll find out that truly He is not a liar. Going back to Psalms 81, verse 10, you don't have to go there. I'll just repeat this. "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth, and I will fill it." And we can say, "Lord, you said, open my mouth, and I will fill it. So Lord, please, I'm feeling empty right now. Fill me." So we can claim that promise, can't we? Let's go to Psalms. Well, I'm just going to share these. Well, we have time. Let's just go ahead and turn to these. Let's go to Psalms chapter 145 and verse 16. Psalms chapter 145 and verse 16. These are some promises that we can claim. Psalms 145 and verse 16. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living creature. We can say, Lord, you satisfy the desire of every living creature. Please satisfy my desires too. Joel 2:26. Joel chapter 2 and verse 26. And here it says, and ye shall eat and be set in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you and with my people, and my people shall never be ashamed. So this is a wonderful promise that we can eat in plenty. It may not be physical food, but it can also apply to spiritual food, which we can always have plenty of, can't we? And we can eat and be set in plenty and be satisfied and praise His name. The more we get to know Him, the more we're going to praise Him. As we see how He has dealt wondrously with us, and truly we can claim the promise that we can never be ashamed. We may have a tendency to be ashamed just because of what other people think, but we don't have to, do we? Let's go to Psalms 91, verse 16, a very familiar text to most of us. Psalms chapter 91, verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And we could look at that a different way, with fulfilling life. Not just long, but fulfilling life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? Which reminds me of the text, we don't have to turn to it, but in John 10:10. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So we could say abundant life, with long, abundant life, will I satisfy thee and show thee my salvation. Okay, let's go to Psalms 103 and verse 5. Psalms 103 and verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. We're a health, a reconditioning center, and we have experienced this, haven't we? That Lord wants to satisfy ourselves with good things, not bad things, and our youth is renewed like the eagle. Because of that, we have greater health. And so we can testify to this promise. Let's go to Psalms 37 and verse 19. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 19. And here it says, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time and in the days of famine. They shall be satisfied. So here again is a wonderful promise that in the days of famine, they'll be satisfied. Again, not necessarily with food, but with Jesus. Okay, so that brings us to the third part of the application, walk in the Spirit. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we'll walk in the Spirit, if we'll obey the Holy Spirit, if we'll follow where He leads, we're not going to obey our natural heart to follow the lusts, the desires of the flesh. But we will have the fruit of the Spirit, which we'll talk about here in a second. Okay. So let's look at the fruit of the Spirit as let's continue on here. I'm just going to continue on where I left off, and we'll get to the fruit of the Spirit here. But here it says, see where I'm at. Okay. As I say, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary one to another, that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and such like, which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I was thinking about this the other day and thinking of a way to verbalize praise to God. And I was thinking, well, the fruit of the Spirit, that's what Jesus is all about. So He's loving. He's not only loving, He is epitome of love. Joy, He wants to give us joy. Peace, He wants to give us peace. And we could go on down through those. But the thing, too, I want to concentrate on is joy and peace. You put those together and you have satisfaction, don't you? So we want to ask for the Holy Spirit. And let's turn to there, Luke chapter 11. Because I want to share with you something about that experience that I had. Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. But I want to read it in context. I'm going to start in verse 5. Luke chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 5. Here it says, "And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me these three loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, he has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him for a fish, give him a serpent? If he shall ask egg, shall he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" There's been many times when I'm saying, "Lord, I don't have anything to give anybody." But you say that you will give the Holy Spirit in context that you will give bread of life to me that I might give it to someone else. And so that's the reason that we need to pray for the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons is that we have bread of life to give to others. And so He says, ask, and He will supply. So we want to ask for the Holy Spirit, and we want to follow His leading. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 58, verses 10 and 11. This is one of the things that he will lead us to do. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 10 and 11. And here it says, "If thou draw up thy soul unto the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as a noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a water garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." And so if we will not be concerned about ourselves, but work for others and try to satisfy them and supply their needs, the Lord will guide us and satisfy us. And we will learn, like Paul, we won't turn there, but he said, "I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content." That's in verse 11 and verse 13. He says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So we'll see as we walk with the Lord that we can learn to be content. We can choose to be content, and as we do that, He will give us that contentness. He will give us that satisfaction. So the conclusion is, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." A lot of times I think of wanting to praise the Lord, and I don't really have much to think about. But I think the more, my conclusion is that if we will seek the Lord with all our heart, we will find Him, and in finding Him, we'll find true satisfaction, and we'll have plenty to praise Him for. So my prayer is that we will seek Him more, and if we haven't totally surrendered, that we will realize that He wants something vastly better for us than we're wanting for ourselves, and He wants to satisfy our heart longing, and as we do that, it will be easier to surrender to Him, knowing that He will supply our needs, knowing that He will satisfy us, knowing that He has something much better for us than we're wanting for ourselves.